What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the ISC Bengals Show, presented to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I am joined by my co-host tonight, Nick Cimino. Nick, how you doing, my man?
Not too bad, Chris. How are we doing today?
I can't complain. I can't complain. Well, we are back here, as always, and again, a little note from the sponsors here. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the presenting sponsor for us here at ISC, and they are Next Evolution in sports supplements. Their pre-workout, protein, creatine, and other products are produced in FDA-approved facilities, third-party tested for quality, and are guaranteed clean. Make sure you use the code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is IMPACT. Use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. Well, Nick, it's been a while since we've done a Bengals show together here. And, you know, we kind of figured, you know, with last week, you know, kind of being blah, we figured we might as well, you know, kind of discuss the last two preseason games together. So far, this camp, what are your thoughts so far on what we've seen before we get into the last two preseason games?
It's, you know, this team hasn't had much turnover over the past year going into this season, obviously. I mean, obviously we see, you know, Jesse Bates leave along with, you know, Von Bell out of the back end. And then obviously we see a changeover up front with Orlando Brown Jr. moving to the left tackle and Jonah. But for the most part, this team stayed pretty well intact. I mean, coming into this, you know, this year, before, you know, obviously we're not talking about the preseason games, this team's, I mean, it is one of the most loaded teams in the NFL. I mean, obviously most prepared. I mean, they're definitely coached. I mean, both coaches being back this season. So, I mean, overall, I mean, this team looks like it's a team ready to compete again this year.
I would have to completely agree. Now, last week, the Bengals ended up tying the Atlanta Falcons in a game to where we did see a few starters play, especially on defense. We saw the starters on defense come out. And like I said, that game ended up in a tie. The Bengals starters played, I want to say it was a series, maybe two. I can't remember off the top of my head on that. But, you know, that game was still kind of just blah. But really the talk of the entire training camp has been the backup quarterback position. That's plain and simple what we've talked about, and every focus is on. And based off of last night's game too, and the Bengals 21-19 loss to the Washington Commanders, my man, I tell you what, let's be real. Jake Browning, as he's captured the backup quarterback spot.
Backup quarterbacks came to play last night.
They did. And I mean, let's be real. Jake Browning was the one that got it done.
Simeon didn't look bad, and I mean, for all what it's worth, I mean, even Reed Stinnett actually coming in late in the game, he actually didn't look bad. I mean, he's a guy, honestly, I mean, I don't think you keep Simeon around. I mean, because I think Brown, like you said, I agree with you, Brown, he probably won that job last night.
42 yards. I mean,
I truly, truly, truly don't think you keep Simeon around to be that third emergency quarterback. I don't. I think you let him go, let him try to get, you know, latch on somewhere else to be a backup somewhere else. But with Reed Stinnett, I mean, obviously he's a guy. He's not going to get picked up elsewhere. He's not expensive. And I mean, I think he'd be a guy willing to accept the emergency third quarterback job because you're on a roster, you're getting paid. Why not? So, I mean, I think you could see Reed Stinnett. I don't think he stuck around, actually, too, after last night, because I think he played okay.
Trevor Siemian – excuse me, allergies are getting me here. Trevor Siemian, okay. Last night, he was 14 to 23, 133 yards, and he had no touchdowns, and he had a pick. He obviously didn't do enough to take control of the backup, you know, quarterback spot. But – Jake Browning comes out, and he's 6 for 6, 42 yards, and a touchdown on a, let's be real, it wasn't the most beautiful pass, but Andre Yoshivash, I mean, showed why he's definitely staying on this team making a beautiful catch in the back of the end zone. But Browning led the most impressive offensive drive that we've seen this entire preseason from any of the quarterbacks, even this offense, period. So, Trevor Siemian, I don't think he's going to latch on anywhere else based off of his performance this entire camp and preseason. It just, he hasn't done enough to where, you know, to warrant him. I honestly think him being picked up by anybody else as a backup, you know, quarterback. I can't see it.
I mean, maybe he's just not a good fit for our system. Did you ever think of that? Maybe he's just not a good fit for the Bengals system. Not every guy who comes in is going to fit our system well. He's obviously Siemian is unlike Browning. Browning's been with us, I mean, for the past couple years. He knows our system very well. Siemian comes in this offseason, try to learn our system after playing for a couple other teams. So he has a couple other systems and, you know, obviously and under his belt. So he's trying to like maneuver and learn our system while also having other systems. So I would cut him a little bit of slack. I think there's obviously worse backup quarterbacks out there than him. So, I mean, I think someone would take a shot at him, maybe even for that emergency depth quarterback. But for us personally, I mean, I don't think you would want to keep him there as that third emergency quarterback, just because what you're going to pay him versus what you could pay Stinnett. And obviously we need all the money we can. I think Stinnett makes it a more logical answer, but like we said, I've been wrong before. So, I mean, like I said, that's the way I see this playing out, but we could see. We'll see what happens.
I completely agree. I'm with you on that. Trevor Siemian, I mean, he's proven, and that's why I think that he could latch on somewhere else, is because of the fact that he's started in the NFL.
He's won games.
He won games with Denver. I mean, he won games with Houston. So, I mean, he can do it. I'm coming at it from the fact that he just did not impress.
He played very, very poorly. Played poorly. Yeah,
he really did. He really did. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, what we saw yesterday, I think this was one of the best games that we have seen preseason wise from the Bengals. I just thought, you know, kind of from top to bottom, I mean, I thought it was a really, you know, pretty solid performance by the Bengals overall. I mean, you saw, you know, starters, you know, in terms of, you know, the guys who didn't play were obviously, you know, all the big guys. The starters did not play.
Jamar Chase, you know, T. Higgins, those guys have not played any bit of preseason. They played none.
Exactly.
So, the only starter on offense that got any playing time during this whole preseason was Jonah at right tackle. That's because they want to get him implemented. They want to let him, you know, work at that, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, that's understandable why he started. I mean, and then defensive starters, like I said, I think they may have played a series, maybe two. And even during that second series, it wasn't every single starter. They had already worked in. Like, I know for a fact Logan Wilson came out in that second series against Atlanta. He wasn't in there the whole game. Logan Wilson had already come out. Dax Hill had already come out, and they had already rolled it. They had already rolled in Jordan Battle during the game. So, I mean, it was just certain players. I mean, they let Nick Scott stay in because obviously he's still learning our system. So, I mean, that's why they let him stay in an extra series. So,
yeah. I mean, overall, like, if you're looking at last night's game, I mean, when it comes down to the, you know, anybody who sees playing time, I mean, we've seen Trent Taylor with playing time. We've seen Mitchell Wilcox, Trey Hill, Max Sharping, obviously Jackson Carmen. But you have seen like Kwame Lassiter a little bit. But that would be more in garbage time, you know, during the regular season is when you would see him, if that. Because the majority of the time, I don't believe he was ever active on game day.
No.
But, you know, but there are some guys who are battling it out for backup spots that we have seen play throughout the regular season that played yesterday and obviously, you know, last week against Atlanta. But, you know, overall, I thought what you saw from the defense, you know, again, it's that bend but don't break mantra that, you know, Lou Anarumo has done a great job with his entire career here. Let them get the yards. Let them get all the yards they want, because yards don't mean points. And that's, you know, that's his mentality. And it's worked, because the Bengals defense, you know, when you couple that with our offense, I'll trade seven, you know, I'll trade 3 points for 7 points all day long.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, even last night, like I said, it was bend the don't brick. And that was with our backups. I mean, our backups were doing bend the don't brick, because it's the mentality, whether you're a starter or your backup, it's the same mentality, bend don't break. So, I mean, they looked really good last night. But so, Chris, after three games, seeing training camp, reading what you've read, who would you say you've been most impressed with during the preseason, during the games, and during the training camp practice? Which players impressed you most? We'll start on offense. On offense, who's impressed you most?
Andre Yoshivash, offense, and he's been the talk of camp, you know, as a receiver. He was one that many people were thinking, you know, hey, we're going to go only six receivers, but and I mean, I'm putting the finishing touches on my roster projection with cut down day here being on Tuesday. So depending on when you're listening to this, Tuesday by 4 o'clock, you've got to be down to your 53 man. And he's Andre Yoshivash, the wide receiver out of Princeton. He's my guy that I think has been very, very, very impressive, you know, so far. I think, you know, and we're going to go over, you know, here in a little bit, we'll go over our 53 man projections, but I think Tanner Hudson, the tight end who is battling it out, you know, we're looking at keeping three tight ends. I think it's been Yoshivash and really Drew Hudson. Jeez, I'm looking at Drew Sample's name that caught my eye. But Tanner Hudson, I think those are the two offensively that have really done the most for me. Because offensive line wise, it's, you know, everything's so interchangeable that I'm not, you know, it's kind of just nah, you know. I will say, I think Jake Browning stepping up in yesterday's game is impressive to me because the fact that he did step up and take hold of that backup spot, because I think, you know, with what everything we've heard coming out of San Francisco, that Brandon Allen's probably not going to leave because they're probably going to end up cutting or they're going to end up probably trading Trey Lance out there, which means he would stay. With that being the case, I mean,
well, they already traded Trey Lance. So we know we're good there.
Did they? Cause I missed that.
Oh, you missed that?
Yeah, I totally missed it.
They traded Trey Lance to the Cowboys for a fourth round pick.
You know what? You're right. They did. We literally talked about that.
We talked about that one the other day. But yeah, I mean, they traded in the fourth. So obviously we know Allen's going to stay. Yeah, obviously he's going to stay. He's going to stay around. He will be their third quarterback for emergency quarterbacks. And if anybody needs that third emergency quarterback, it's the 49ers because they found out real fast last year during the playoffs.
Oh yeah, you're right. Well, you know, now that I, from the words of Peter Griffin, well, Chris, you must feel ridiculous. Well, you know what? I do, because you're right. We literally talked about that. I want to say it was Friday we talked about it.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I think those three, but it's really the guys who have really impressed the most are Yoshivash. And I'm going to say it again, another guy. I'm just going to toss his name in there because you know my love affection for him. Trent freaking Irwin. That guy, you know, I know you pick on me with him, but Trent Irwin, man, he's so reliable, and Joe Burrow flat out trusts him. And
it definitely comes down to trust with Burrow too. But it'll be fun to watch Yoshivash with Joe Burrow.
Oh, I know.
Because Yoshivash gets open, and he had the most targets out of any receiver in training camp for us in all three games. He had the most targets. And a lot of times he's just not getting the ball correctly because the backup quarterbacks weren't getting the ball to him. I think he's a guy. I mean, who could start? I mean, it could be sneaky late in the season to be possibly moving up the depth charts. I mean, because let's be honest, he played a lot better in preseason than Charlie Jones. And I'm not faulting Charlie Jones for that. I know Charlie Jones is playing through a shoulder injury, which he's not going to have surgery on until the season's over. So It's no fault on Charlie Jones. But I mean, unfortunately for Charlie Jones, Yoshivash has played like a beast. And he's made him look bad compared to him. So he's definitely higher on the depth chart than Charlie Jones is right now. And I mean, I put him right there. I know you don't, but I put him right there with Trent Irwin. I mean, Trent Irwin's really, really good. Joe Burrow likes him a lot. So I give him that little extra edge, but we haven't had a chance to get Yoshi with Joe Burrow all that much yet. So we shall see
you're
on
just
that one.
Saying that because he's an Ivy League guy. You're not fooling me.
Dude, like I told you that one time. The one time he played Cornell last year, he went for 10 catches, 150 yards, and two TDs. He lit up Cornell.
I know in all seriousness, I'm with you on that, I think.
Well, yeah, I do have a – obviously, like I said, you have a little thing in your heart for Trenton Irwin. I have a little thing in my heart for Yoshivash, okay?
Well,
I do.
Here's the thing. You're not the only one because he has truly impressed
everybody.
This entire camp. I mean, he really truly
he's impressed
has.
Everybody.
So it's not like, yeah. I mean, so I
the only thing was about him was a lot of people think, well, his stats in college were definitely something you can't really look at because he played in the Ivy League. Well, He's proved that he could play in the NFL. He's proved that pretty much mightily through three preseason games because he's played with second teamers and he's gone up against guys who are backups, who have been backups in the NFL for quite a while, and has played well. So, I mean, he can play in the NFL. He deserves to be here. So, once again, like we always say, good on him.
Bingo, you're right. Who are your players that have impressed you so far offensively?
You know, I'm a big fan of Hudson, the tight end. I'm a huge fan. He's been monster catches during practices. He's someone who's always caught the guy. He's a great receiving tight end. And like we said, I mean, our offense is predicated around throwing the football. Drew Sample's a blocking tight end. He's not a catching tight end. And let's be honest here, Mitchell Wilcox is also a blocking tight end. We need if we keep one blocking tight end, I think we're okay. I think Drew Sample, obviously being a second round pick, and that's just one of Zach Taylor's first guys, as we've talked about before. I think you see when like I say, we'll go over the 53 in a little bit, but I think he gets the edge for a second, and then I think Hudson beats out Wilcox, even though Wilcox was injured reserve. They brought him off that for a reason. I think Hudson stays. He's played his way into it. He played amazing last night, made a lot of big catches. Unfortunately, his biggest catch last night actually was called back because of a hold. Was it a holding call or was it a face mask call on the offensive line?
I think it was a hold, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I remember it was on Trey Hill. I do remember that. It was on Trey Hill. It was either a face mask call or a holding call. And he had a monster catch and, you know, he had a yak and everything. He's definitely a guy who wants to be there, and I like to see that. So I do like that on offense. So the two, Yoshi and then on defense, love what I saw from Dominic Davis, especially even last night, the monster hit on the sideline of the quarterback, which I think still wasn't really a late hit all that much. He was still in bounds with one foot. The other foot was out of bounds. So the quarterback didn't really give himself up either. So that's not on Dominic Davis. That's just a bad call on him. And other than that, I mean, I like him a lot. I do like Jay, what's his last name?
Tufele.
I like him a lot. I think he had a great camp. I think he's a guy who's definitely earned his way to stick around. And then I would say one other guy.
You're missing one. I know exactly who you're going to say.
Oh, Tyson Anderson.
Oh, I was okay.
I would go with Tyson Anderson. Monster game, had the two interceptions in the one game there, and one pick six. He thinks he's played phenomenal. He knows the system. Obviously, I mean, he's competing, you know, for those four spots for safeties, possibly five with Mike Thomas. But after last night, Mike Thomas giving his jersey number up. But also, he did tell the organization he's willing to do anything, even if that is stay on the practice squad. So good on Mike.
That's a veteran right there.
Exactly. But he understands where he's at and where he's at in his career and who's behind him, right? Who's with him. Obviously, with Nick Scott, who's young, who's only been in the NFL for 4 years. He's got Dax Hill, who's only in his second year. You've got Tyson Anderson, who's in his second year. And you've got Jordan Battle, who's in his first year. All guys. And Jordan Battle's another guy who played decent during training camp. Did he look like a rookie? Of course he did. He got burnt. He was a lot of spot a lot of times, which is expected. So, I mean, I saw people on Twitter blowing him up for that. And let's be honest here. He's a rookie. He's not a guy who's been in the NFL for 10 years. As you and I say every time, all cornerbacks get burnt. They all do every single year. Even Denzel Ward got burnt multiple times last year. And they still talk about Denzel Ward being one of the best, you know, cornerbacks in the NFL. So it's, you know, everybody gets burnt. So Jordan Battle, I mean, he's going to have those battle scars, those rookie tendencies. But he also made a lot of great tackles. He was quick to the punch. He lowers the lumber. He's there. So he's definitely a guy who's going to be there. So, yeah, Mike Thomas was definitely just the odd man out right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. My on defense for me, Dominic Davis is, again, the same. I'm right there with you. I think, you know, he is perfect for this defensive line. But unfortunately, I think it's a numbers game with him. Again, we'll talk about that here in just a couple minutes. But so I would say Dominic Davis. And the one I thought you were going to say was DJ Ivy. DJ Ivy, I think, impressed. I think he's looked great. Maybe not great, but he's looked pretty good so far. Again, another rookie out of University of Miami. And then DJ Turner. I think DJ Turner has been, you know, our two rookie quarterbacks or corners, you know, DJs there. They've done an admirable job. And it's just, you know, it comes down to, you know, just getting the experience. And we know one thing. We know Lou Anarumo doesn't play rookie corners, you know, to start off. So.
Nope.
And that's just, you know, that's just how it is. But Tyson Anderson, again, I'm right there with you. I think he's just been, you know, he's been solid. He's the reason, you know, there's a reason why we got him, you know, in the draft. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Same year as Dax Hill. It was last year.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like he was late. Yeah, same year. Last year. Yeah. That's what I thought. But there's a reason why. I mean, they see something in him, and he gets the job done. Again, he had that pick six in the first game. I mean, he's looked good. And, you know, so that's something I think overall that, you know, we should be pretty happy with defensively with what we've seen so far from, you know, from this team. I think those are, you know, those are really good guys that, you know, I think this team's in really good hands. And like I was saying before, I think I said on the last show, after I talked about the first game, was the Bengals right now are, and I heard it from Richard Skinner, so I got to give props to Skinny for saying it. I told you this as well, that the Bengals right now are set up absolutely perfect, about as perfect as you're going to be going into the regular season for any NFL team. Just the way the depth we have. Yeah, I mean, outside of Joe Burrow, if, you know, God forbid Burrow misses some games, you know, and that's going to happen to any team. I don't care who you are. Any team loses their backup or their starting quarterback, they're going to be hurting. That's like that. But any other position in this, you know, on this team, the Bengals are okay. They are set up perfect going into the regular season. So, you know, that's something that, you know, as Bengals fans here and, you know, as people that, you know, cover the team, you know, we're not, unfortunately, you know, in like the, you know, like the beat writers and stuff like that. But, you know, we cover the team here and, you know, we give our thoughts on them. And, but, you know, for us and then fans alike, you know, hey, you've got to be pretty happy with where this team is going forward. And, you know, to face the Cleveland Browns here in a couple weeks. So, you know, I think there's been some guys that have impressed that were ones that you weren't quite expecting to impress, you know, or it's been the usual suspects, you know, that you've seen, you know, you see their names throughout camp and stuff like that. But, you know, other than that, I mean, again, I'm pretty jacked for where we are right now.
I agree.
All right. With that being said, let's take a look at our 53 player, you know, roster projection here. So again, Tuesday by 4 o'clock, NFL teams, that's the deadline. You have to get your team down to the 53 man roster.
And the cuts have already started. I mean, you can obviously go online. You can read cuts have already started across the NFL. You've already seen them start roll out a little bit. So they have started, but like you said, Tuesday at 4 p.m. is when they have to be down by that. But you'll see a few guys here today, a few guys on, a lot of guys tomorrow, and then Tuesday will be just the last few guys that they're having a hard decision on.
Exactly. Yep, that's how that'll play out. So obviously, quarterback, we've got two, Joe Burrow, and I'm pretty sure you're going to say Jake Browning as well.
I agree. Yep, it's two. Yep.
There we go. Okay. So there's two. Now, running back. We keeping four. We keeping three. Joe Mixon's obviously your starter.
I'm going three, just so you know. I'm going three.
You're going three. Okay. Yep. I'm assuming, is Travion the odd man out?
I actually have Travion making it, and actually Chris Evans being the odd man out.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, I'm going four. I'm going, obviously, Joe Mixon, Chase Brown's obviously going to make it, Travion, and Chris Evans. I think what Chris Evans brings, you know, and as, you know, as a receiver and everything like that, I think that helps him tremendously. Really what it comes down to is, what are we going to see for a third down running back? Because that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Who's the third down back? So you've got three, I've got four. Let's move to receiver. I've got seven. Obviously, Jamar, T, and Tyler, those guys are safe. I've got Charlie Jones, Trent Irwin, Andre Yoshivash, and Stanley Morgan.
I have the same seven.
Okay. Because here's the thing. Stanley Morgan was one where it was going to be a toss-up either way.
Yep.
Obviously, Stanley Morgan, if you get rid of Stanley Morgan, he's getting plucked so fast.
Yep.
Like, I don't even think you could submit that to the NFL before he's picked up by another team.
Same thing will happen. Same thing's going to happen once we release Trent Taylor. Trent Taylor will get picked up immediately.
Yeah. Just because of their – you know,
because of special teams. It's because of special teams, 100%.
Exactly. And here's the thing: if Trent Taylor, you know, wasn't part of the numbers game here, he would be on this team. But there's just too many players involved. In terms of special teams as well,
especially now, for example, Jordan Battle, obviously, he's became a gunner. He's actually played quite well on special teams during the three games, the minimal times we've seen him while he was out there, because they weren't playing him a ton. They were playing him enough to see him, but not a ton. I mean, obviously during the Atlanta game, he had that late hit where they took him out immediately just to prove a point. They take him out of bounds just to prove the point. But the last game, I mean, still that he was out. I mean, every time he played special teams, he looked good. So, I mean, there's going to be players that are going to be odd man's out. And unfortunately, Trent Taylor's going to be an odd man out.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Now, this is one here. This is the one where I know we're obviously going to differ. Tight end. Obviously, we're keeping three. I've got Irv Smith, Drew Sample, and Mitchell Wilcox.
This is where I make up the difference now, because obviously, I had one less with the running backs. I'm going to go one. Unfortunately, I am going to go with one more on the whole tight end situation, just for the simple fact that this may change, obviously. But I have him keeping all four guys. I have him keeping obviously Irv Smith Jr. I love Hudson, what he's done in preseason. I think he'll hang on him. Mitchell Wilcox, obviously, like you and I both said, they took him off. They took him off injured reserve for a reason. So I think they'll hang on to him. And Drew Sample, once again, he's a guy that was drafted by Zach Taylor. That's his guy. I think we'll see him stick around for one more year. So I think they keep all four on this year. I really do.
I hope you're right. I think Tanner Hudson is the odd man out, despite the fact he is a better receiver. And he's up there with Irv Smith.
My only scare with him, this is why I was thinking, they would cut him too. And I really never thought that, because like you brought to my attention yesterday, we were talking about this, that Wilcox is our backup long snapper. So we can't afford to lose him.
Yes.
That's what's tough on Hudson right now, because obviously he doesn't do that. But I mean, I have a funny feeling Hudson showed enough during training camp that he may get picked up, and if he does, good on him. But hopefully he could clear away. I mean, if he does get cut, that's why I actually have them keeping Hudson, because I think he proved a lot during practices and during games. So I think he's a guy that sticks around, especially yesterday. He caught everything that was thrown at his way. So I had four. I had him keeping four there. So
I hope you're right, because I would love to have Tanner Hudson. I think he would be perfect, you know, as another receiving weapon, you know, and imagine what he could do with Joe Burrow. I mean, seriously.
He was at the same negative. He was at the same negative as Yoshivas was. These guys had a play without Joe Burrow. I mean, so that's tough.
Exactly. Imagine what they can do.
But with Joe Burrow.
I hope you're right that he is part of it. But because personally, Drew Sample has not impressed at all this camp.
None whatsoever. But I also, my reason for, and I'm going to tell this, and I'll explain my reason for keeping four here. And I mean, this could be your reason for keeping four running backs here. I think, obviously, we'll talk about offensive line here in a minute. But I think Lionel Collins will start the season on the PUP list or whatever, you know, or injured reserve, one or the other. He'll be out for a few games. And then once he comes back, then we need to provide him a roster spot. And then we're going to need to cut somebody. Once we need to cut somebody, God forbid, it could be Hudson. But it'll be easier for him to clear waivers then and then get him on our training and then put him on the practice squad. You know what I mean? So that's my reasoning for keeping Hudson too, along with it, for that simple fact that I think once Collins comes back, we're going to need to clear a roster spot. And I think it'd be easier for him to clear the roster spot then versus right now.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm okay with that. I think, but like you said, I think if you get cut now, you're going to get snagged pretty quick.
Absolutely.
As opposed to later on, obviously down the season. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, because once the season starts going, teams are pretty set on who they got, and you know they have their rosters pretty set. They're pretty good, unless they have an injury, which happens all the time. If there's an injury, then you might get picked up. But as long as everything remains status quo, I think he would be able to clear waivers and we could put him on the practice squad. And I think he would be a guy. He would become a hard practice squad guy where they would hang on to him.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So I think, you know, in terms of Drew Sample, again, the dude has not impressed at all this camp. But like you were saying, you were talking, you know, again, you know, we talk every day and it's like you had mentioned with Drew Sample that, you know, he's obviously Zach's guy.
He's Zach Taylor's, but he's Zach Taylor's boy. Every coach has certain players that these are their guys. And
I mean, for God's sakes, they took him three rounds ahead of where the hell he should.
Every other team in the NFL had him with a grade of 56th round. We picked him in second round for a reason. They saw the advantage of the positive that he was with, you know, as a blocking tight end. I totally get that. And you wanted a tight end who could block, obviously, because we have Joe Burrow. You want to block for Joe Burrow. But it's like, he's a guy that we could have gotten much later. There was a lot of other players we could have got. We talked about that yesterday. We're not gonna rehash the guys we could have got because everyone gets upset about that when they think about that.
Oh yeah. Oh boy. And here's the thing. I mean, they've doubled down with their love for Drew Sample. Because if you don't, like you said, that's just admitting your mistake. So
yep.
And I get that. I mean, but I think with this team, you know, we've got guys that can block. I mean, Drew Sample. You know, I think you can kind of get away with the fact that, you know, maybe he's not going to, you know.
I think I personally think he sticks around. I think he'll stick around for one more year.
I think he will too.
I think next year our first round pick, depending on obviously what happens with our contracts with, you know, obviously with Burrow and T and the other guys that'll be free agents next year. I think next year you'll think the NFL, I mean, with the draft, I think they'll go for a tight end, a clear cut for number one tight end. Who's the guy, because you'll know offhand, or you can probably look it up because you probably have the computer in front of you.
Yeah.
Who's the number one tight end for Georgia right now? He was ahead of Washington, Darnell. He was ahead of him. He's a beast.
Brock Bowers.
He's a guy, honestly, I mean, do I think he'll last as long as we are? No. But we need a guy with that caliber. That's the type of tight end we need. We keep doing stopgap guys for a reason because we haven't found that first guy that could be there. Bowers could be a guy like Bowers could be that. You and I both thought when Michael Mayer from Notre Dame was there late in the draft, we thought we were all over that one.
No,
he was there. He was available. I still can't believe we let him go past. He ended up going late in the second round for some reason or not, but he's a guy. I figured he could have been the guy who would no longer be the stopgap. He could have hung around for 4 years with us, but we decided to go in a different track with Miles Murphy, which, you know, obviously we are a rotational defense on defense, on defensive line. So that's the reason for that. So, and tight ends, obviously, I mean, we're a team that utilizes the tight end, but not as much as a team like Kansas City. So it is what it is on that one.
Yeah, but here's the thing now. If you do utilize that tight end and say we're lucky enough to get Brock Bowers, imagine what that would do. If you have T. Higgins or not, and again, we'll touch on contracts here to wrap it up here, but, you know, with or without T, if you have a guy like Brock Bowers, my God, what he could do for this team. Oh,
that's
man.
That's what I'm saying. He's an absolute beast. If you guys if you guys listen out there have never seen Brock Bowers play, go on YouTube, pull up his highlights. He is an absolute beast. He's the type of tight end that would make you salivate to have with Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this kid's a stud. So, yeah, watch him on Saturdays for Georgia because he's.
You want to move on to offensive line? How many offensive linemen you got to have us keeping?
I got 10.
I have 10 as well.
Obviously, Orlando Brown, Cordell Volson, Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and Jonah Williams. That's our starters.
That's our starting five. Yep.
Jackson Carman, Cody Ford, Hakeem Adeniji, Trey Hill, and Max Sharping are my backups.
I actually have, instead of Adeniji, I actually have Kirkland, actually. He didn't impress much during preseason, but I actually have him keeping Kirkland. He showed a little bit last night. He didn't get any penalized. And the reason I like him a lot is, they noticed this last night. Hold on a second here. This was noticed last night with Kirkland, is that every time he played on the line, everybody else he was playing with was a veteran lineman. Did you know that?
You know what? I never paid attention to that.
He's the only rookie out there with the rest of it, even with the backups. Every backup we have besides him was veteran or a couple years in, and he's the only rookie. I think he's a guy who was very, I mean, he has definitely underimpressed during training camp. I can definitely say that. But he's a rookie. And I mean, he's, the offensive line is a tough position to switch from, you know, from college to pro. It's a totally different game, a totally different style. Bigger guys, stronger guys. You're not playing in the Pac-10 no more. Let's be honest here. And I think he's a guy that I personally think that, you know, Frank can work with. And I actually think they're going to move on from Adeniji. And I think I'm my hope. I mean, like I said, I could be wrong with obviously there, but I think they keep Kirkland. This is what I have written down. This is my guess with this one. I said I wanted to swing for the fences with a few different ones. I didn't want to go like, you know, as we call it, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I didn't want to go the whole Rock Hawk Jayhawk thing. So I wanted to change it up a little bit. And so Kirkland's my guy I was changing it up with.
Okay, there you go. Fair enough. Well, Dingy is one that, you know, you could see going, you know, he's up in the air. I'll agree with that. But I think, you know, his familiarity with the offense and the fact that dude started in some big games, let's be real. When I say big games, I mean big games.
He played in the Super Bowl, but he got beat like a drum.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but I was trying to keep that quiet. But you know, he's played in big games for this team, and he's got the familiarity with the offense. So I think that's what gives him the leg up.
Fair enough.
In this battle. So moving to defensive line, I've got 9. What do you got?
Let's see. What was it here? I'm still got my thing here. 9.
Okay. Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, DJ Reader, and BJ Hill, the starters. I've got Miles Murphy, Joseph Osai, Josh Tupou, Zach Carter, and Cam Sample as my backups.
I actually had this one. I had the 9 too. I originally had 10 with Jay, but I think Jay actually ends up getting cut, and I think he goes on the practice squad.
Yeah, Jay Tufela. He's yep. been. And Tom Davis too is another one that I'm.
Yeah, like, those two are so they're so close and so tight. Those two guys. I like to see them both be kept, but I just don't think obviously with the way our rosters come, you know, our roster works. I think it's just and the amount of guys that we're working with right now, it's just the most best option.
Now, one thing I brought up to you a couple of days ago when we were BSing was what about trading one of our surplus? And this has been brought up. I've heard from numerous writers and everything like that, you know, who cover the team, you know, kind of floating that idea of trading from surplus to bring in somebody, you know, as either, you know, like a tight end that we had talked about, you know, because they're going to bring in guys regardless.
When I heard it. It's funny you talk about that. There was one last night online. They're talking about besides there's been rumors about trading Lionel Collins to trade him to the Jets. I've seen that a few different times. I've seen rumors about trading Jackson Carmen to either who was it, the Commanders or even the Buccaneers. I've seen those rumors. And then I saw one last night, a totally different player that they thought about, you know, we could possibly trade a surplus was Cody Ford. Cody Ford possibly trading him out to either the two teams they had mentioned were the Seahawks, and there was one other team. I had to go back and read the article again, but the Seahawks were one of them. But he's another guy who becomes surplus. He's a guy who can play guard or tackle. Obviously we didn't see him as a tackle. So, you know, we'd be moving back into guard again where he's played most of his career anyways. But, he's a guy. I mean, he said he's a guy who could be traded as well. So we have 3 guys. I mean, that you could trade and turn around and, you know, get another defensive lineman for rotation. Like you said, another tight end or for rotation. Or, I mean, there's, you know, obviously, I mean, if the right team, maybe a backup quarterback.
Here's the thing. I'm not trading any of our offensive linemen. I'm not even remotely dealing any of those guys, because I think having Lyle Collins, as God forbid something happens, that is one hell of a contingency plan.
Oh, he's going nowhere. But I mean, I could see Carmen or I could see Cody Ford, either one of those guys.
I think Jackson Carmen, they do like what he does, what he brings to the table. And yeah, he might drive us nuts too.
Yeah.
But he's proven that he can get the job done.
I know. He looked great in the Buffalo game. He looked like a Pro Bowler in the Buffalo game.
And I mean, they do like him. Because otherwise, let's be real, with what we've seen so far from him, he could have been cut a while ago or dealt a while ago. But
I think he's another guy, Chris, that we don't want to admit to the mistake.
I think so too, but I think he's not as glaring of a mistake as you would think. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. He's not as glaring as a mistake as Drew Sample, we know.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So I think if I'm going to deal from any surplus, it's from my defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can – I mean, Josh Tupou, we talk about, you've got a Dominic Davis, you know, but you've got, you know, guys like that who could step up and be part of that rotation. But a guy like Josh Tupou, who, let's be real, I love Josh Tupou. I think he's awesome. And he fits in perfect with this team, as, again, we've got a rotational, you know, that's our thing on the defensive line. We wrote it.
And the one thing about Tupou, and the only thing about Tupou, the reason I don't think he would ever be traded, not on me personally, is if you read a lot about him, like I said, we you and I do a lot of, I mean, obviously I do a lot of research, you know, you do a lot of listening and stuff like that too. I think you're more of the listener. I'm more of the guy who does research. The one thing about him is Tutopo is that a lot of people might not realize he's actually really, really tight friends with DJ Reader. I mean, extremely tight friends. They do everything together. And I don't think you'd want to mess with DJ Reader's head by getting rid of him. The organization loves DJ Reader. That's their guy. The city loves him. And I think the NFL, I think they'll keep him around just because that keeps DJ Reader pretty content and happy because they're really good friends.
And I'm cool with that because
I'm totally fine with that. Like I said, because he is a dominant player. He's you know, you don't hear a peep from him. He's never in trouble off the field. Nope. He's never out of position. He's never a guy you never have to worry about. He always does his job. And that's what everybody else talks about. Do your job. He always does his job. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm happy with him.
Just think about that. He was prior to Orlando Brown, he was the biggest free agent acquisition in the history of this franchise.
I know.
Think about that. Isn't that crazy?
I know. And we're going to move on to linebackers next. Is that what we're doing next, yeah. Linebacker? Can we skip over linebacker? Because we consider we know it's going to be the five, and it's the same five that were last year's.
We can Logan, Jermaine, Akeem Davis, Gaither, Marcus Bailey, Joe Bachy.
Joe Bachy, yeah, that's pretty clear cut. I mean, you and Bo and I both have that. Yeah. I think most broadcasters and podcasters, everybody out there who's done a 53-man roster projection, that's the five. It's never changing. It's not going to change. No one else is breaking into that. Let's leave it alone.
Secondary.
Second, there we go.
Safeties. How many? I got 10.
We're equal right now, so I'm at 10 as well.
Okay. Chitty, CTB, Hilton, mm-hmm. Dax Hill, and Nick Scott.
Yep.
Those are your starters.
Those are your four, yeah. That's your five. That's your five.
Yeah, my five starters. Backups, yep. DJ Turner, DJ Ivy. I've got Jalen Davis.
Yep.
Jordan Battle and Tyson Anderson as your two safeties.
I have the same exact five. I mean, and the one it comes down to – the one thing it comes down to that makes it tight, and this is where, I mean, obviously, this is where Zach Taylor makes a difference, because Zach Taylor and our organization, we're a young team, and we like to stay young. Because could Sidney Jones stick around? Possibly. He's a veteran player. He's good. The only problem, he's been injured a lot of training camp. We haven't seen a lot of him. DJ Ivy's been playing a lot of, once again, this comes up huge, special teams. He plays a lot of special teams. He played a lot of coverage, played really good last night. If you watch, he played a lot of good coverage last night. Yep. Did he get burnt? He did get burnt in the Atlanta game. I will admit that. But once again, like we talked about Jordan Battle, these guys are going to get burnt. Unfortunately, this is the NFL. Yeah. These other guys are just as good as these guys. So they're going to get burnt. So, DJ, I do like DJ Ivy a lot. He was a monster at the University of Miami. Like I said, they like him a lot. They drafted him for a reason. He's a seventh round draft pick that turned heads. And you know, Yoshivas was sixth rounder, right? Am I thinking right?
Yep, he was sixth. Yep,
sixth rounder turned head. So I mean, here's two guys that have definitely earned their stripes. And I know it's such a cliche thing to say with the Bengals, but they've earned their stripes.
Hey, bingo! I'm right there with you. All right, let's.
And special teams, obviously, we're sticking with. Obviously, you're going with. Are you going with Christian? Or are you going with our draft pick out of Michigan? Who are you going with?
I'm going. Brad Robbins out of Michigan.
All right, Robbins out of Michigan. And then obviously we're sticking with our same obviously we know Money Mac, who's been like a beast in training camp this year. Has not missed a field goal in a second. In fact, his 2 years that he's been here, what did they say? Is he 23 for 24 since he's been here in preseason?
Dude, he's been unbelievable.
He's a beast. And then our long snapper is what's his name? Adamitis, yeah.
Yep. All right, so there's
our 53, yeah. 53, and we're not going to touch on we could maybe on a different once this is over, but obviously we could touch on who you think is going to be on the practice squad, but that could be anybody, honestly. I personally think, I mean, and I'll touch on this before we go to contracts. I think you're going to see a lot of guys on our practice squad that are not currently with us. That's my, I don't know about you. I can tell you who I think will be from our guys right now. Dominic Davis will be on our practice squad. You agree?
Yeah, as long as
Jay will be on Talefe will he'll be on our practice. Yep, Talefe he'll be on our practice squad. I think right off the bat him. And I think they'll keep. Who was the first running back out last night? Not the guy, not Taylor Jr. The one before that from East Tennessee State, Sailor. Yeah. Sailor. I think he makes practice squad. Other than that, honestly, and I think they'll keep Kwame Lassiter because I think they like Kwame Lassiter a lot. And there's who was the other receiver last night that's really good too. Touchdown pass last night. What was his name now?
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. So I think those five guys we'll keep. Like I said, I mean, I know you don't see him keeping. You didn't say anything about Kirkland. So if you weren't keeping Kirkland, would Kirkland be a guy would you see on the practice squad?
Oh, I'd stash him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. That's what I'm saying. So that's five. Other than that, I think the other guys on our practice squad will come from other organizations. Our depth is very, very our extreme depth. I'm not talking about immediate backups, but our extreme depth is a little weak. So I think they'll look to go for other guys.
Yeah, and I would completely understand all of that. I mean, that's just, you know, that makes all the sense in the world is, you know, getting that depth and bringing those guys in. I completely understand that part of it.
Absolutely.
So, all right, real quick, let's, you know, before we wrap this up here with contracts. So, obviously, we have seen the biggest, you know, the biggest chatter so far is the Joe Burrow contract and then ultimately the T. Higgins contract. Now, we've seen Logan Wilson re-signed. You know,
and Trey Hendrickson.
Trey's was a contract. They extended it out to shed some cap expand.
It shed cap. It moved us up. Yeah, it shed cap. It did.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of thinking I was going to try and word it.
I don't know if you've gone online and looked at Logan Wilson's contract. It's really not bad. It's really not that bad of a deal for us.
No, it's not because
honestly, the salary cap's going to continue to keep going up and up and up. So this year he's only going to make $3 million this year. And next year he's only going to make $7.5 million. It's not till the third year of this. Because this is the last year of his rookie deal. For Logan Wilson, and then next year will be that first year, which is only $7.5 million next year. The year after that's only $10 million, which is still low for a position of his, you know, for a player of his position. And then the year after that, it does jump up to like 11.7 or something like that. But it's like, okay, that's a decent deal for him. But back to the main two guys, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, or was it the day before? It was Friday, and it was one out of Cleveland. In Cleveland, there was three Cleveland guys. They were talking to James Rapp. And they ventured him a question. So I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
Chris, this is what they asked him. Do you think the reason Joe Burrow's contract has not been signed is because T. Higgins has not been signed?
Correct.
There's a reason for why that Joe has not been signed. And this is what Rapp said, is that he agrees with that because he thinks there's already framework out there. There's a framework out there for Burrow's deal. There has to be. Because every other quarterback has signed who's been in his shoes has already resigned, except for Tua. But Tua is in a different show because of obviously his injury history, with a head injury. But the two other quarterbacks that Burrow was competing against for money wise were Herbert and obviously Jalen Hurts. Those two guys are there. Both those guys have resigned. Both have long term deal. Burrow knows where he stands. He knows he stands behind. He's not as good as. Well, Harris there. He's not as good as Mahomes, but he's right there. And he's going to make right there money-wise. He's going to be the top paid player in the NFL or right there. But I agree. I think he's waiting. I think he told the organization that I'm not going to sign this contract until you get my guy. Because everybody knows they want T. Higgins back. T. Higgins wants to be back. The three of those guys were inseparable. They were there at FC Cincinnati's game the other night. There's a reason for this.
Here's the thing, and I agree with all of that, and that's kind of what I was going to say. Joe Burrow, and this is the beauty of it right now, Joe Burrow is under contract next year for $29.5 million. So we don't have to necessarily hustle and get this done because we have Joe under contract next year.
This is Joe's fourth year coming, right?
Yes.
Because his first year he got hurt. Second year we went to the Super Bowl. Third year was last year. This is his fourth year. And technically, we've already picked up his fifth year option. So technically, we control him for the next 2 years.
Yeah, we've got him. So he's under contract for, like I said, next year at $29.5 million. Next year, 2024. So that's what I'm saying. We have through next year to get this done for him. But I think there is so much that is, when it comes to this contract here, there is so much, like, number jumble that you have to try and figure out and slot in to where you can make it all work. That's why it's taking so long to get this done. Yeah, we're all looking at it like, oh, yeah, see, I'm looking here at SpotTrack right now. SpotTrack has Joe Burrow's calculated market value at $54 million a year. Jamar at $25.5 million a year. T, 20.1. Next year, our estimated cap space is $39.351 million right now. That's where we're at right now.
Exactly. So because you got to figure Jonah falls off next year, and that clears 12 and a half. Let's call it $13 million. That clears off $13
million. So right now,
I mean, that's a huge pebble to come off. Is that's massive that comes off next year, having him come off the books. That $13 million. And I mean, well, I know thing, everyone keeps up
$39
million. Yep.
That's including what's his name? What he just said. What the heck? Oh my gosh, I'm losing it. Jonah. That's including him not being on at all. So that $39 million is the 51 players we have active right now. So, you know, with that being the case, what are we going to be looking at? You know, and again, it's easy to say, yeah, all this just, you know, it's, you know, Justin Herbert's already signed. Yeah, I get that. But when you're trying to work in Jamar and T and DJ,
there's no other team in the NFL that has to deal with what we're dealing with. We have to deal with a quarterback and his two and our two main weapons.
Exactly. And here's the thing: when it comes down to it, unfortunately, T's the odd man out.
That's the one thing.
I hate saying it because I love T Higgins, but you know that's. You know, he's the odd man out.
We don't want to see that. And I mean, what's that?
I said my little nephew just barged through the door as we're recording. But yeah, so that's why this is so difficult and it's so fluid. Let's be real. I don't envy what Katie and Troy and Elizabeth and Mike and Joe's agent and Joe himself. I don't envy them at all trying to get this all figured out.
Especially when T. Higgins and his agent.
Well, and that's where I say T's the odd man out because of that. You know, let's be real. He had the same agent as Jesse Bates. And T's going to get paid. But, again, the agent works for the player. So – the player doesn't, you know, work for the agent here. That's not how it works.
Nope.
So hopefully he's like, dude, get this done.
Exactly. And I mean, and honestly, I told you, and I said, I still feel that T will be re-signed before the season starts. Within the next 2 weeks, you'll see an extension for T. And it's not going to be what everybody wants. It's not going to be a 5-year extension. It's not even going to be a 4-year extension. It's going to be a 3-year extension, like what Terry McLaurin got. Or something like Debo Samuel, but 3 years is just fine. That gives us so that essentially gives him 4 more years with us because we still have him for his 4th year, 3 years. So technically, that gives him essentially he's been with us for 7 years. Then, and then after 7 years, he's going to be an older receiver anyways. And then the amount of the contract for what he's going to be required won't be as high on that next deal. You know what I mean? So I still think it'll happen. And my prediction is within the next 2 weeks, you'll see T get re-signed.
Here's what I can also see happen, and I mentioned it to you as well before. I can see him being franchise tagged next offseason. I can see them tagging him, still trying to work on the deal, and the same situation as Jesse Bates. All right, we tried. We can't get it going. You know, can't get something going. Best of luck to you, my man, and go from there. I can see that being – to me, I think that's more of a realistic scenario than
– But the one difference between – Jesse and T is, and like I said, yes, they have the same agent, but there's no solidarity for Bates like there is for T. T is, I mean, like I said, like he says about him and Jamar Chase, their bond is thicker than blood. I mean, they're like brothers, and I mean, they're tight. And I think that's one thing Jesse Bates didn't have for him. And I mean, there's a lot of guys going to bat for T right now. Obviously, Jamar is in the ear of Joe, and Joe's in the ear of the organization. So. I like our chance with resigning T, and my prediction is he'll be signed before the season starts because we'll hit that out of the way. I mean, honestly, and I don't think he would ever be a distraction, but it'll get rid of that distraction for everybody. And the Joe Burrow deal can happen next offseason. There's no big deal with that. You know what I mean? So yeah. And at least next offseason, then they could do Burrow, and then by that time, Jonah's deal wipes
as well too. So.
Jonah's deal wipes off, and then you can try to extend. You know, because everybody knows that there's no way Jamar is going anywhere anyways. So that's not even a big deal. Jamar's going nowhere. But the fact is that we'll have T done, and T's the main one that needs to get done.
And you've got Lyle Collins to step up at right tackle.
Absolutely.
Next year for yep. Jonah, and that's yep. only an $8.6 million cap hit. Now, if you were to get rid of him, that's a $1.6 million dollar cap hit, or dead cap hit, I should say. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks.
That's my prediction, though. My prediction is we'll see T resign in the next 2 weeks. So hopefully, I'm right.
I hope you're all, man, dude. I hope to God you're right, man. That'd be amazing. So, well, Nick, I appreciate it, man. That was awesome. And let's wrap it up here. Again, as always, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Make sure you check us out on the website at www.iscincy.com. We've got high school football rankings up there. We're going to have the 53-man roster projection coming up. And then we will be doing, obviously, a podcast here most likely in the next week and a half, to look at the roster going forward into the Cleveland game here on September 10th, and we will preview that game as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah, make sure you follow us on Twitter at @iscincy and at @IamChrisAsbrock, and also follow Nick as well at @CincyZZ. So with that being the case, thank you guys again so much, and have yourselves a fantastic rest of your weekend. Until next time, have a good one, everybody.